You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show is live. You may have heard during the break the conversation we had on Friday afternoon with Greg Sankey. It came shortly after some of the reporting by our next guest and one of her colleagues about the CFP agreeing to a new deal. You heard Sankey say there, Commissioner Sankey say there, he didn't even know if it had been released yet. I don't know if it has or not. But Heather Dennis joins us with the absolute latest. Heather, always great to see you. So where are we right now with the CFP and this new deal?
Well, as of Friday afternoon, all nine FBS conferences had signed a memorandum of understanding, agreeing to move forward with the college football playoff for 2026 and beyond. So it's definitely going to be 12 teams for this fall and the year after that. It's trending towards 14 in 2026 and beyond. According to sources, the format has yet to be determined, but essentially what they agreed to was mainly revenue distribution, some protections for Notre Dame and the A4 conference champions, meaning the SEC, Big 10, Big 12, and ACC conference champions will be in the playoff moving forward, and a guarantee that there will be at least 12 teams in 2026 and beyond.
Where do you think the conversation is on 12 versus 14, and why are they considering 14?
Well, 14 is popular in part because of the protections that were put in place, which are ironclad, I should say, as one source described to me. So they backed off the notion of automatic buys for the Big Ten and SEC champion. And it's now at the point where if it's going to be at 14 teams, then the direction it's headed is the five automatic qualifiers, meaning the group of five would also, conference champion would also have a spot, and then maybe nine at-large teams. But like I said, sources have cautioned the format is not determined yet, but if it's 14 as opposed to 16, then the price tag is probably right, quite frankly, for ESPN, which probably wouldn't have to pay more money than the $1.3 billion that it's expected to put out on the table to continue to be the sole rights holder for the college football playoff.
Heather, I had someone ask me this question today, and I've heard it discussed, but I thought until I answered it, I'd talk to an expert. How does Notre Dame always get included in this, even though they don't have a specific conference affiliation?
Notre Dame does have its own line in the contract and all of it. It does have its own protections because of its brand and its financial value that it has and that it brings to the college football playoff. And I know there are people who love Notre Dame who love to hate Notre Dame, but the reality is that they are going to continue to cling to their independence, and they have every reason to, because quite frankly, they're in an excellent financial position, because in the new contract, they will be making about $12 million, which is right around where the ACC and Big 12 will be. And Paul, they ditched the pot of money that currently exists that rewards teams for making the college football playoff, and that is basically going to the pot for the Big Ten and the SEC. But Notre Dame is the one independent out there that can get more money for reaching the college football playoff. So in addition to having some of those protections and the financial agreement, Notre Dame really doesn't have any reason or any interest in looking elsewhere to join a conference at this point.
We're chatting with Heather Dinich from ESPN about the almost agreed upon and maybe agreed upon CFP deal. It seems like, based on what you reported and said, money and the shares are going to be different. How did we get to this point? Because it looked pretty crazy a couple of days ago when we were hearing reports of automatic qualifiers, automatic bids, first and second for the SEC and the Big Ten?
College football got to this point, and it's postseason as well, because of leverage. There's no other way to put it. The Big Ten and the SEC threw their weight around, and quite frankly, the Group of Five and everybody else didn't have much negotiating power to push back. I still wonder, and hindsight is 20/20, if everyone would have pushed back on the Big Ten and SEC, what would have happened? Would they truly have gone on their own and broken away? I don't know the answer to that question, but I think there was certainly a very real fear of being excluded from the college football playoff. And so here you have it. You have the Big Ten and the SEC and everyone else agreeing to a revenue distribution that is going to grant those schools and those conferences about $21 million per school per year, and a financial gap that goes all the way down to the Group of Five schools, $1.8 million. And again, I reiterate the fact that they can't make any more money for winning the national championship. The point here is, if you're a school from the group, any one of those Group of Five conferences, and you win the national title by some grace of God and miracle, you still get that $1.8 million, while Georgia, if Georgia doesn't win it, still gets its $21 million, right? So that's the disparity. And meanwhile, the independents, which as we sit here right now, include Washington State and Oregon State and UConn, are going to receive about $350,000. So I know there's definitely pushback on that from what's left of the Pac-12 leadership. We'll see if there are any negotiations that can change that. But as we sit here today, that's what it looks like. And the disparity is real. And it is because of the SEC and Big Ten's leverage and everybody else going along with it and not having that much room to push back.
And Heather, been a couple of weeks now, almost a month or two since the announcement of the quote-unquote Big Ten SEC Advisory Committee. I know you're a reporter, but you certainly have an eagle eye on all of this. Is there a way to draw a line between that moment in time and what we ended up with the other day with this agreement in terms of their leverage, as you said?
That's an interesting question, and I wouldn't pinpoint it back to that advisory group. I would just more broadly state that it was clear that Greg Sankey and Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti had been working closely together, and that advisory group was sort of tangible evidence of that partnership. And then you bring it inside the room behind closed doors, or quite frankly, what was more media calls and conversations about the college football playoff, and you saw that partnership continue to get stronger and to work behind the scenes and regards of those negotiations and deals. So yes, that was a result and a part of that partnership, but it wasn't, I don't think you can draw a line from that advisory group to what we saw on Friday unfold.
Well, what can, based on your reporting and your intel into college football, what else do you think they're going to do with this alignment, Petitti and Sankey?
Well, right now they've got the power in the room with the college football playoff, and that's very important because that's written into the contract. And you've heard me say before on the show and other places that the SEC is the biggest, wealthiest, most powerful conference along with the Big Ten. Well, now that power is on paper because they've given the SEC and the Big Ten the bulk of authority to determine what the college football playoff looks like. So if Tony Petitti feels very strongly about a 16-team format and he can convince Greg Sankey on that, and they read the room and that's what they want to do, then they can do that. That's where it is. That's how powerful that partnership is right now. And like I said, it's on paper and everyone else agreed to it. So that's what it means. Will that happen? I don't know. Like I said, sources have strongly indicated that 14 is the direction that it's heading, and they could wait and see just how 12 plays out. I would be surprised if they went the whole season before they determine that. But that's where that is right now. It's just significant power in the room.
Heather, finally, I realize there are many major issues facing college athletics, most of them legal. But within this framework of the CFP, this seems like a very big deal. Is this it? Or are there more unanswered questions out there in the short to intermediate? What else is on the horizon?
There are a lot of unanswered questions. I mean, beginning with the format, do they go 5 conference champions plus the next 9 best teams? Do they come up with a different format that they want to use? And also the TV deal. I mean, there are still details that technically need to be ironed out in that before it's 100% a done deal for the next 8 years. And again, what happens with Washington State and Oregon State? Do they find a way to get more revenue? Do they eventually join the Mountain West Conference? Is there a reverse merger? And I don't think that they're going to be getting Power 5 money for sure in the near future. So those are some of the unanswered questions, I think, and they're all very important ones. And how does realignment and any more movement in the future impact all of these conversations?
Heather Dinnish, Nobody Knows More, joining us from ESPN. We'll take a short break here. More to come on our program. We've already had a major basketball guest, the MVP of the tournament yesterday in Nashville. We've talked about what's next. The Feinbaum caller bracket has been revealed. We are off and running.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yes, we had. We had a lot of... From every walk of life, from Jordan Davis, the country star, to John Chris, the comedian, to a couple of basketball coaches. Now we're back to callers. Todd is up next.
All right, Paul, now you got the best, brother. Hey, let me give a shout-out. My buddy, I just met him this weekend. He won the Major League Fishing Red Crest, Dustin Connell, and I met his wife, Vic. Great people, good God-fearing people, and he's going to be a friend to me the rest of my life. But anyway, Paul, I wanted to say something. Augie called in to straighten me out, but I understood. He didn't know where I was going with my sweet daddy call, and I meant Dwayne from Baton Rouge sounds just like my friend that died, sweet daddy Connie Lewis from Demopolis. So I appreciate him straightening me out, and I was trying to help AJ. But AJ turned on me with the girlfriend stuff, but I still want him to have a good woman, Paul. And I'm going to tell you this, Paul, for amateur callers, Squirrel, AJ, and Joe from Red Bay are the best 3 callers. But Legend is not a amateur. He's a pro. And I wanted him so bad to get Eli's. I love to hear him announce Alabama games, Paul. Wouldn't he be great?
Who would be great, Todd?
Legend.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he would, absolutely.
He would be, because he's a pro at this.
We agree on something.
Yes, he's great, Paul. And boy, I missed you, but I tell you what, our man's got a big jump on me because Auburn put it on him this weekend. So, man, Alabama, we look like high schoolers out there trying to play basketball, Paul.
This is not a good time of the year to start sucking.
And that's the way we always are. I mean, Auburn's always got it, but they got it. But that's all right. I'm going to work on our man all I can, and I'm going to be praying for Jim, because I heard Jim call in the other day mad again after he had told them good verses, Paul, and he let everybody wag his tail. You can't do that. People are going to talk about you, and it is just what it is. Just let it bounce off and go, because I love everybody, Paul.
That's reassuring. Expired is up next.
Love you too, Todd. Love you. Anyways, Paul, I was calling. First of all, I got to sit down and watch. You know, I follow basketball, SEC basketball, follow who A&M plays, watch the games as much as I can. But really got to sit down this weekend and watch SEC basketball, Paul. Pretty damn impressive. I mean, there's some really good basketball teams. I think the best team, no doubt in my mind, besides because they won, right now is Auburn. Man, what a great run. They're talented. They got elite guard play at this time of year, Paul. Elite guard play, I think, wins the tournament. That's why Purdue never can quite get there. But did you get to watch any of that?
Yeah,
Paul,
and you talk about Purdue. I mean, has there been a bigger choker in modern college basketball history than last year they lose to the number 16? I think the year before they lost to a 14 or a 15. I mean, I know everyone loves their big guy in the middle and is picking them to go to the Final Four, but how can you trust that bunch?
I don't have them in the Final Four in any of my brackets because they play in the Big Ten, which is more of a physical conference. The two best teams in the Big Ten, I think, are the best team in the Big Ten that has the best chance is Illinois. People are looking past them.
Yeah,
but,
good.
Man, they are good. Purdue, I just don't see that style of basketball getting them to the Final Four. I mean, I'm sure I'll be dead wrong. Because who in the hell knows what's going
to
happen in
the next
couple
weeks.
Well,
you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, expired, and we were talking about Samford. And I was trying to explain to this individual how good Samford is, and they say, well, they're going to lose. I'm going, do you follow the NCAA tournament? I mean, do you realize? I realized last year three number ones made it, but that was about it when you lose a number one in the first round. And there's a reason we care about basketball during this time, because it is the most unpredictable 3 weeks of the year in college sports, or pro sports, or any sport for that matter. Susie is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Susie?
Thank you. Yep, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. Caller bracket, I'm honored to be on it again. Teacher against student, I started laughing. I predicted that might happen. Dominic, I think, is the horse in the lead, but that's fine. What I really called about today is I was interested in your thoughts about all the number ones that went down this weekend, not just SEC, but, you know, Duke and Purdue and Houston. Is that surprising, or is it just
it does surprise me, but I've covered too many conference tournaments. And, I mean, there are some coaches that literally don't waste time. I don't mean on preparing, but they just don't waste a lot of motivational energy, because there are those who think it helps, and then there are those who think spending 3 or 4 days in an environment like Nashville or D.C. for the ACC or wherever is exhausting, and by the time the players get to Sunday afternoon and find out what they're supposed to do, they'd rather, and in the event like Auburn, they have to get on a plane probably tomorrow and fly halfway across the country. How about three-quarters of the way across the country? So it just depends. I think a lot of times, but you can't read too much into it. Auburn won the SEC tournament in 19 and made it to the Final Four. I've seen Kentucky teams get knocked out quickly and make a run. It's just, there's no rhyme or reason to those tournaments.
I guess Houston's loss was just
mind-boggling. Well, in Conference USA, Florida Atlantic lose to a team with a losing record, and they were the best team in the league. So, I've never seen this many upsets, but I read nothing into it.
Yeah. No, I was just shocked. It was good ball to watch. I mean, you know, I certainly want Tennessee to go even further, but just all of them. Joe and I were hiking on a hiking weekend, and so we caught what we could, you know, at the different times, and we were just laughing. Oh, my goodness. And let me ask you one more thing. When does the voting open for the bracket?
I do not know that. Yeah, we'll start probably this week. I mean, listen, we understand the big bracket, but this is just something for people to do when, you know, they don't have a team on. You know, everybody loves the tournament, but sometimes the first round, second round, you see great games. Sometimes it's tedious. So we are here to be your alternative. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. And Greg is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are great. Thank you for calling.
First off, just want to congrats Coach Mike McMahon and the LSU men's team for making the NIT tournament. After last year, I think that's a pretty good feat at this time for them. But what I really called about, when the committees are putting this, and this is like not complaining about this, it's just making observations, like the women's committee, when they're putting things together, I heard the commissioner last night when she said it was all about numbers and how things fall out. But do you think they take opportunity to create intriguing matchups? A couple things I'm asking about, like, you know, LSU and Iowa's in the same bracket. Well, if LSU, Iowa, and South Carolina were to make the Final Four, if LSU was in a different bracket, then South Carolina would have to face possibly Iowa and LSU again in the Final Four. Would they not want something like that to happen again? And then another intriguing thing is like, well, let's send Louisville to Baton Rouge. If both win, then we got Haley Van Lith playing her old team. So does that create intriguing matchups that give the media things to talk about? What's your thought about that?
I know it's easy to say that that's what they're doing. I don't believe they do. I know a lot of these people. And it's complicated because you have so many variables. And by the way, it's not just two of us making the decision. You have about 13 people in that room that they care about seeding first. They care about trying to protect the higher seeds. They're trying not to replicate games. So I think it's, while interesting and while great conversation, I don't believe they do it. Because frankly, if you have a school like Iowa or LSU, no matter who they play, it will be intriguing. And someone's going to have to play Iowa. And you don't want to put LSU, you have to look at where is LSU seated. That's why I thought some of the commentary yesterday about, you know, how Auburn won the SEC, how could they be sent all the way out there? The problem with the SEC tournament ending when it does is that pretty much everything's already been done. Especially when in that game you had a four seed and a six seed. There wasn't really much to determine. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. We have a long way to go. We are off and running on a Monday afternoon.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
That's the first time I've seen that. So after that was on Thursday. On Friday, I went over and did a podcast with Shane, Cousin Shane, and Brad. And I don't think it's out yet, but it is that 2 minutes encapsulates the what we did for almost an hour, and we'll let you know when it becomes public. Because I don't think the 5 or 6 people that follow Cousin Shane on Twitter will be able to be a big enough sample. Shane, not Cousin Shane, but this Shane is from Tennessee.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Paul Feinbaugh.
Cousin Shane, thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, this is just Shane. I think because, but Todd Horro, he talked about the NIL the other day. I just thought.
Yeah, Rick Horro, yeah, Rick.
Rick, I'm sorry.
That's
Rick,
okay. I thought his name was Todd, too.
No, I'm sorry, my friend. But, yeah, he was so knowledgeable. But, his answer, he said, I've got more questions than I do answers. And that kind of puzzled me, and it does everybody else. And I had a comment about the bracket.
Go right ahead.
Well, I think, Tanner... I like Tanner on there, but I just can't understand why Johnny B's not on there.
Oh, I didn't realize Johnny B is not in the field. Are you kidding me? Wow.
Well, maybe I missed
no,
it.
No, no, you're right. And by the way, I'm not trying to overact here that I'm I did not realize Johnny B was out of the – could I ask the producers without identifying – so I'm told that he called in, he got very upset about the that he was not in the top 16. I tried to very patiently explain to him this was just a projection, and apparently he irritated the search committee, the group that did the men's basketball committee.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, and well, by the way, I would never hold any grudge like that, but apparently the people in the other room don't take kindly to the product being assaulted.
One more thing, Paul, and I'll let you go. I know you're a busy man. How do you feel about Tennessee, Paul? They just act like they just showed up, thought it was a cakewalk. So, it's not a cakewalk. It's time to do.
I feel very good about Tennessee. I know what you said about the other day, but I love this team. I think being in the Purdue regional is good. Purdue is one of the biggest choking teams in the history of modern NCAA basketball, so that's the toughest team they'll have to play. They've got some legitimately good schools on their side of the bracket. Creighton is a team that everybody is in love with. But I think Tennessee has a reasonable chance to get out of there and make it to the Final Four.
Well, thanks a lot for taking my call today, Paul. Get to the other callers. I'll talk to you soon.
It's amazing that I am learning about some of the it shows you I would think if you're looking at the most notable absences from the Feinbaum bracket, obviously Jim took himself out. That's well documented. Who else have we heard from? Johnny B, I think, is the biggest name not to make it. Will from North Carolina did not make it. I thought Daryl did. So Daryl, the Georgia fan, did not make it. Who else? So we're trying to come up with a list of who is the most noticeable snubs. And I think you have Jerome didn't make it, but that's understandable. The guy quit calling. Jeff from Columbus was called, what, one time? Did Elliot make it from Ohio? Elliot didn't make it either. Wow. So in my own analysis of the Feinbaum caller bracket, you can tell I didn't know William in Maryville. I mean, it was a persnickety committee, if you want me to shoot straight. I mean, they had a tendency not to reward hate speech. If you came after them, they tended to put you in your place. Another guy that didn't make it, understandably so, is AC from Bangladesh.
Mr. Feinbaum, how you feeling, man? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm motivated to call the station because the contest doesn't do anything to me. So sure, I could eliminate myself next 10 years. I really don't care. But how's your family, Mr. Feinbaum?
We're doing great, AC. Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about March Madness. Let's play to the hottest topic. So who do you think is going to be the surprise team, the underdog, et cetera, et cetera? Who do you think is going to win it all, in your opinion? I know you don't like predictions, but we're talking about opinion.
No, I have not, I'm not ducking your question. I just simply haven't had a chance to really look at the bracket in great detail yet.
Good. You know what I like about you? You're not like those Democrats, ducking everything. This is what I like about you. I guess we can call you a Republican, correct? Just food for thought, okay?
You can call me anything you want.
I dislike you. Well, you're you know what? Matter of fact, I'm going to be nice gentleman like I always am to you. I love you, dude. I would always love you. Holla.
Yeah, he'll be opening in the NIT in Kuala Lumpur. Brad is up next in Macon, Georgia. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, brother?
We're doing great. Thank you. You there, Brad?
Mr. Paul, I know I drew the number one seed in the bracket with Larry from Shelby.
Oh, he's beatable.
Well, I figured all I needed to do is just call in sober and I'd be able to beat him.
Well, I mean, there's that, and you have a chance of outliving him to the end of the bracket.
Well, you know something, Larry's one of my favorite callers, but Larry, don't think I'm going to take it easy on people that need indigent care, because I'm going to put it on you, Larry.
Yeah, I mean, one of the requirements of winning the tournament is you have to have proof of life.
You do have proof of life, and I don't know when the decision is going to be made that whoever wins this tournament, but Larry, if you listen out there, man, you better be eating your peas and carrots. You better be staying in shape and doing at least 2 or 3 push-ups a day, because when I get done with you, Larry, Jack, I don't know, man. I think you might disappear for a while.
Brad,
like
I have
Jerome.
To tell you, I like your fight here. I mean, you're a major underdog against Larry, but you're not doing the usual. I really respect my opponent. I like a guy that just goes right for the jugular.
You know, I do have a lot of respect for Larry. He's an old timer, has been calling in, but you know, I like to win, just like Al Davis says, win, baby, just win, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make an upset, just like Macon, you know, Paul, if you remember, Mercer beat Duke in
oh, yeah.
the
I remember that about 10 years ago.
That's right. They put it on Duke. So Larry, I'm the Mercer to your Duke, and I'm going to put it on you, and I'm just letting you hope we have a lot of
hey,
fun.
Brad,
with
I just it. Saw, I just saw and, a tweet from Jay Billis. He's picking you as one of his sleepers in the tournament. We take a break. More to come right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And hey, welcome back. Tanner, mentioned a few minutes ago, is up next. Tanner, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, you doing all right?
We are doing great, thank you.
Well, I haven't heard what was I mentioned about?
You were mentioned for the caller bracket. You're in the bracket, pretty decent matchup, so... You're playing
all
expired
right, well,
in the first round, and Yeah, pretty good matchup, A&M fan versus Bama fan.
Okay. Well, Paul, it doesn't matter who I go up against. I just focus on getting better, being a better caller every call.
Well, yeah, you know. winner of your matchup gets Handsome Joe.
Oh, now that, you know, that's some competition right there. He's one of my favorites. So, but like I said, all I can focus on is being a better caller and living up. You know, I got a process, and I'm trying to just be a better caller each and every day.
You are.
But Paul, you know, I called in a few weeks ago to talk about this topic, and you didn't really help my anxiety, but Nate Oates did sign a contract extension.
He sure did.
You know, the Tide, they disappointed me. They didn't surprise me.
Yeah,
but
came out.
Me.
I just saw some. It came out that he has his buyout has been raised to $18 million for the first 2 years. So it will be expensive for him to leave. But
okay.
I've never seen a contract yet that stops somebody from leaving.
That's right. That's right. But Paul, let me pivot for a second. Now, your listeners here in Alabama, they probably all know, and maybe some others here in the South, but some of your more nationwide callers may be unaware, but most of the Mercedes-Benz in the United States are made right here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And recently, the Tuscaloosa Amphitheater has been renamed the Mercedes-Benz Amphitheater, and Nick Saban also has some business, you know, with Mercedes. And I've heard Greg Byrne say he's just waiting on this, you know, $100 million donation or something. And, you know, the kids are getting paid these days. They're selling beer at all the games. It's not the days of old anymore. And I'm just wondering, would the university be open? Would the fans be open? I know I would, to selling some naming rights and getting this place built already. I mean, I'm pretty sure Mercedes-Benz would. You know, they're buying all the naming rights.
Hey, I don't, Tanner. I appreciate what you're saying there, but I firmly believe that the folks that run Alabama are aware of that. But I also think that they're in a conundrum. They have a conundrum on their hands, and that's that the money toward football is superseding everything else. And I'm not talking about money to pay Kalen DeBoer, money to keep the facilities top-notch, just money to pay the players.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, what better NIL partnership than Mercedes-Benz?
You know, I'm with you. And this is why I think it would be helpful or would have been helpful to if last year Alabama had not completely thrown up all over the court in its Sweet 16 game.
Yeah. Well, I guess the bigger part is, Paul, do you see, you know, here in the future more, you know, teaming up, you know, selling the naming rights to you know, arenas and whatnot in college athletics?
Well, I think that's exactly what's going to happen here pretty soon.
Okay. Well, if that's going to happen here pretty soon, I'd like to be ahead of the curve, and I'd like to keep Nate out. So if you know any people that have any pull at the university, tell them, don't drop the ball.
I will. Hey, thank you very much, Tanner. Great to hear from you. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Cooper is in Knoxville. Hey, Cooper, go right ahead.
Paul, how are you, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, what the gentleman who was saying that's in the bracket, and it's, you know, speaking in the bracket, like, you guys, the way that the committee, this bracket committee, is so well organized, I mean, it blows away the NCAA and NIL committee. I mean, it's better than politics, like, because actually it was it was put together so swiftly, so commends on that, man, on that committee. But I believe Kroger Field, is it Kroger Field at Kentucky already done? And then you got Food City.
You've got it at a number of places. So what Tanner said is interesting, but I can assure you Alabama
has gone down that road before. It's just a matter of priority, and it's a matter of how much money is one company willing to spend.
Yeah, I mean, for Neyland Stadium and all that, that's not like ours.
I mean, when you're a company, I think people misunderstand that naming rights are going to cover everything. They're just a small part of it. I don't think the naming rights are that expensive.
I have no clue. It seemed to me like that's like less than a player. I mean, with the NIL. I mean, speaking of that, like, is there going to be like some sort of like a trade deadline with the NIL to where they're allowed to, swap teams? Because I mean, if it's all going to come down to these teams that are going to be, based on the NIL and how much they're getting paid, you could just go off a ranking system on that. And I mean, you could just rank college football off of which teams have the most money. I mean, it's going to get to that point. And then like a trade, is there going to be a trade deadline? Like it's going to take them 30 years to figure this out. Hell what? Tennessee won the first BCS and it was just the bowl games. And then it went what? To 14 playoffs, stayed like that for how long? And now we're just now getting to 12 and then 16. Anyway.
Hey, Cooper, I hate to run. We are literally out of time. We thank you for being a part of the show. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.